It is a tremendous honor for me to stand in this pulpit this morning for two reasons. One is, this is where my dear friend Adrian Das preaches from every Sunday, or at least most Sundays. As Lou mentioned, Adrian and I go back at least 15 years, meeting every week for prayer and accountability. You get to know someone when you're praying with them every week. And I know your pastor, and I love your pastor. So it is an honor to be preaching where he preaches. And the second reason it's an honor for me is my faith journey has been an interesting one. Interesting. That's an interesting word, isn't it? It can mean a lot of things. I thought about telling you the faith journey, but no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to condense it down to this. I've never been denominationally minded. I believe labels divide us. And I know that Jesus is coming back soon, and he's bringing his church together. He's uniting his church so that we can be the witness to the world that the world needs to know that Jesus has come to save them and loves them. So I've been in different churches. I've been part of different churches, different denominations throughout my life. But interesting, I said I'm so humbled to be standing here today, and I want to tell you why. I grew up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, Portage, Michigan. And that's the reason why I'm a huge Detroit Red Wing fan, by the way. I got to say that. The Blues are my second favorite team, but the Red Wings are my favorite team. Well, I guess not in 2000. What was the year we won the Cup? Was it 19? 18?
19.
19, thank you. I was bleeding blue that year, by the way. So, but being from Michigan, I still have a Red Wing, Detroit Tiger thing in my blood. 2 weeks ago, we were in Michigan visiting my family. I still have family that lives in that area. We were celebrating a Christmas a week early, and I said to my wife, I really think we need to go back to the church that I grew up in. And I hadn't been there for 15 years. The last time I was at that church was when my mom, we had her memorial service, her homegoing service 15 years ago. And we hadn't been back. And I said, I really sense I need to go back. So we did. We visited the church that I grew up in. I was baptized in that church as a baby. I was confirmed at 12. And all the way through, I think I, about 16 or 17, I quit going to church for a while. But that was the church that I grew up in. And that church, the name of that church is Westminster Presbyterian Church of Kalamazoo, Michigan. So I've preached in a lot of churches over my years, and I kind of feel like it's full circle. Here I am preaching at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Godfrey, and I just see God's hand in that. So I am so humbled and honored to be preaching this morning in this place. The scripture that I'm going to be preaching from this morning is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, our Redeemer. Amen. Please complete this sentence from William Shakespeare with me out loud. To be or not to be?
That is the question.
To do or to be? That is the question that Jesus is asking us today. To do or to be? And the answer to that question is clear all throughout the Bible. One passage it's very clear about is the one we just read in Luke chapter 10. To do or to be? Jesus emphatically says, be. See, doing distracts from being. That's what Jesus said in this passage. Doing distracts from being. One version, NIV, has, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Let me ask you a question. Did Martha have to make those preparations? No, she didn't have to. Not according to Jesus. So let me ask you another question. What has to be done today? What has to be done right now? Today really is all we have. This day God has given us. We don't even know if we'll be here tomorrow. What has to be done today? Jesus says, what has to be done today is loving me, being with me, listening to me. This is what I desire from you, my children. All your doing and serving distracts you from doing the most important thing, and that is being with the one who loves you the most. You see, I'm afraid we have bought into the lie that busyness and service are the marks of a true Christian. It's been said busyness is one of Satan's most effective tools. If Satan can keep us busy, even doing acts of service, he keeps us away from being with Jesus, praying to him, listening to him. William Cowper said, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Some of us are so busy, we don't do the one thing that Jesus says is needed. Sitting at his feet, listening to him. Doing distracts from being. Being supersedes and precedes doing. Let me say it again. Being supersedes and precedes doing. We just read in verse 39, Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said, and the Lord answered, few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What did Mary choose? Well, she didn't choose serving him, did she? She chose to sit at his feet and listen to what he said. Jesus says that being with him is better than doing for him. There is a reason we are called human beings and not human doings. You see, Jesus calls us first to himself and then to others and acts of service. Be and then do. Be with Jesus and then do for Jesus. Actually, when we prioritize being with Jesus, we will cease to do for him. Instead, we will begin to work with him. Prepositions matter. There's a big difference from working for Jesus and working with Jesus. Too many of us are working for God rather than working with God. Jesus says in John 15:5 these words, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that? I don't think I did for many years. I don't think I did. I was working for him, but I wasn't working with him much. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. See, the world says, don't just sit there. What does the world say? Do something. Jesus says, don't do something, just sit there. Be with me. I read Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest just about every day devotional. He says, it is the work that God does through us that counts, not what we do for him. It is the work that God does through us that counts, not what we do for him. You see, the thing our loving Father desires most from his children is for us to love him back, to be with him. In Matthew 22, he's asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." See the order? Love him first and then love others. We will never love others well until and unless we invest time with the Father. And the more we grasp our Father's unfathomable love for us, the better we will love others. The more we bask in our Father's strong, loving, gentle arms, the more loving we will be. And that is my goal. How about yours? Don't you want to love more? Don't you want to love better? I do. I got a long ways to go. Our Heavenly Father doesn't want our acts of service. He wants us. He wants you. He wants me. And when he has us, then those acts of service that we do will flow from his heart to the people that he leads us to serve. We won't have to ask him, "Father, what is your will?" We will be his will. So how do we get there? What do we have to do to be with our Father? The disciples didn't have to ask that question. Jesus was right there. They could see him. They could talk to him. Real easy for them. But our Father is invisible. So being with him is a little more challenging. Well, the formula is simple, but it's difficult. And the formula is the same one that I learned when I was driving. Learning to drive many, many years ago. When approaching a railroad crossing where there was no electric lights, no gate, just a sign that said railroad crossing, we were taught to slow down and then stop. Okay, people my age, what would you stop? What? Look and listen. Now, I'm guessing you young people learning to drive, that's probably not taught to you, but it was to us older folks. Stop, look, and listen. And here's what I've learned about stopping. You need to slow down in order to stop. You can't just go from this fast and stop that quick. There's a slowing down process. It's the same for spirituality. We have to slow down so we can stop and look for God. And listen for him, because he's everywhere. We're just missing him, because we're in such a hurry. Have you noticed the increase in people running red lights? I don't know when this started, but it's epidemic. And they're not just running yellow lights and orangish lights. They're running 2 to 3 seconds after a red light has gone red, and they're running it fast. I was 2 seconds from an accident going under the bypass there at College Avenue. Just 2 seconds. If I was 2 seconds earlier, a guy was coming off the ramp there, and he was just flying through on a red light, and bam, he ran into the guy ahead in front of me. It could have been me, but through God's providence, it wasn't me. But I'm saying, be careful out there. This is one mini sermon here. Watch out. Just don't assume that a green light means you can go. I would be looking. But here is the lesson. If we really want to be with the Father, we need to slow down. We need to stop, look, and listen. Carl Jung says, hurry is not of the devil, it is the devil. And don't we live in a hurry-up culture? We do. We can't help it, the culture we live in, but we can help how we respond to how we live in the culture. And God is calling us not to be like others. He's calling us to be different. To slow down, stop, look, and listen for him. Slow down. Well, God has given us a gift to slow down, and it's called the Sabbath. The fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Unfortunately, God's commandment to rest, that's what Sabbath means, to rest. God's commandment to rest has been ignored by my observation, most believers, including me. I didn't observe the Sabbath. I've been a follower of Christ. As I said, I was baptized as a baby. I came to surrender my life to Jesus at age 27. So I've been walking with Jesus since 27. That's a long time. But it was just until the last couple of years that God has gotten through this thick head of mine that I was able to say yes to his invitation to stop and observe the Sabbath. I didn't do it before. Sabbath means to cease, to stop working. And it means 24 hours. You see, God knows we need to rest. It's for our own well-being. And it's for our well-being because when we're better, then we're better with others. So it's for others' well-being also. You see, observing the Sabbath is not supposed to be a burden. It's designed to refresh us, to rejuvenate us, to energize us. Observing Sabbath actually increases our productivity. Just like tithing, giving at least 10% of our income, increases our income. And if you don't believe me, come and talk to me after the service and I'll tell you how God has done that in my wife's and my life. Test God on that. Test him. That's one time we say we can test him. God wants to be tested. Test him on the tithe. And see if he won't be faithful to you. I can't do it. There's no way I can tithe. Because I have so many bills to pay. No, tithe and watch how God will come through. Now that's a separate sermon. I'm getting off on a second sermon. So if Adrian invites me to come back sometime, I'll preach on the tithe. Further on the Sabbath. After he hears what I said today, he might, when you guys tell him, he's probably never going to invite me back. So. Here's the thing about Sabbath. Yes, it is a commandment. It is listed in the Ten Commandments. But it's more than a commandment. It's an invitation. It's an invitation from our loving Father to come and just rest. Put aside all your to-do things and just rest. And enjoy a day off. You need one. Yes, it's a commandment, but it's an invitation, a wonderful invitation. In fact, as I mentioned, I grew up in Michigan. It's an invitation because I'm giving you 52 snow days a year. Now, in Michigan, when a snow day happens, it's because there's so much snow, you can't leave the house. You are stranded, and you can't do anything. Now, down here in the South, if there's a forecast for an inch or two of snow, the school's closed and we can't go to work. It's not a snow day because you can still go out and do all the stuff you want to do. I'm telling you, God has invited us to take advantage of 52 snow days, big snow days where you can't leave your house and just enjoy Him and the persons that you live with. I want to share with you from this book by Peter Scazzaro called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality as I close. Evidence that observing the Sabbath actually increases our time. The story is told of a wagon train of Christians traveling on their way from St. Louis to Oregon. They observed the habit of stopping for the Sabbath during the autumn, but as winter approached, the group began to panic and fear they would not reach their destination before the snow began. A number of members of the group proposed they quit the practice of stopping the Sabbath and travel 7 days a week. This caused an argument in the community until it was finally decided to divide the wagon train into two groups. One group would observe the Sabbath day as before and not travel. The other would press on. Which group arrived in Oregon first? I've set this up so you know the answer. Of course, the ones who kept the Sabbath. Both the people and their horses were so rested by their Sabbath observance, they could travel much more efficiently the other 6 days. I like how Scazzaro wraps this up. He says, this is so profound. We can trust Him enough to stop. It really comes down to trust. Will we trust our Father to continue on what He does without me? Gee, imagine that. The galaxy continues without me. We can trust Him enough to stop. Do you trust Him enough to stop? Observing Sabbath is not meant to be burdensome with lots of do's and don'ts. That's what the Pharisees did. And that's why they got on Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. It's not about do's and don'ts. So let me give you, in closing, Paul Millitzer's very loose Sabbath rules. If it's restful, do it. If it's stressful, don't. For you. You decide that between you and the Lord. Because what's restful for you may be restful for me. So no judging, no condemnation. This is freedom, my friends. This is freedom. Is it restful? Do it. If it's stressful, don't. A Jewish Sabbath prayer goes like this. Days pass, years vanish, and we walk sightless among miracles. Would you pray with me? Loving Father, we can never thank you enough for loving us like you do. We can never thank you enough for sending your only Son, Jesus, into this world to become sin and become a sacrifice for our sin, that we could know you and love you and have the promise of not only eternal life, but abundant life now. How can we ever thank you for loving us that much that you would sacrifice your only son? Thank you. As we begin this new year, Father, we want to get our priorities in the order that you want them in. And we know it's very clear, God, that the number one priority for us as your sons and daughters is to be with you. So help us, God. This is hard for us in this culture in which we live. It is really hard to stop, to slow down, to listen, to look for you. But I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray for those who are here who are seeking you. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw them and me to you this year, and that you would constantly be bidding us to come to you, not just on Sunday or whatever day you give us to observe Sabbath, but even during the day. May your Holy Spirit remind us and say, stop, come to me, be with me just 30 seconds. And listen and hear how much I love you so that we can do well at loving others.